welcome to But Why Though, the podcast, and this episode is a special Patreon episode. It is being specially made for our listener, supporter, also one of our writers, and our first patron at the $10 level. Nico, you have picked Coraline for us to review. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And I'm really excited because we usually only review like brand new movies and not stuff that's on streaming services right now. So this is going to be a nice change of pace for us. And if you're listening right now thinking, oh, how do I get these really cool people to review a movie that I want them to watch? Well, head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/butwhythoughpc. And $10 level, you get to pick any movie on a streaming service. All the instructions are there. And for at the $3 level, you get access to every episode we do like this after this point. So we're excited to launch our first Patreon exclusive content, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yay. Yay, Nico. My dude. Yeah, Nico, I know this is being recorded right before I go watch Royal Rumble, so we're not going to talk about it right now, but I'm excited to talk about it soon with you. So thanks for
letting us review Coraline.
I'm excited to watch you two talk about it because you two have taught me so much about wrestling. but yeah, so let's go ahead and start in the beginning because that's a very good place to start.
Is it now?
It is. God damn it, Matt.
Starting in the middle of this movie would probably be like the trippiest way to watch this movie. So
I feel accurate. I feel like I can never not watch. I should never watch this movie with my mind impaired in any way. Like cough syrup, alcohol. Just I should never watch the movie this way. the movie Coraline is based on the Neil Gaiman novella of the same name, and the movie came out in 2009, is directed and written by Henry Selick, and it stars Dakota Fanning, Terry Hatcher, and some other people, but they're pretty much the only characters you hear from. It's Coraline and her mom slash other mom. And yeah, it is distributed by Focus Features, which I think is due strongly to the darkness of this movie. Like, I can't see a Disney or a DreamWorks putting this out.
Yeah, it is super dark, kind of all around.
it is definitely, it hits the dark fantasy genre, like, right on the top of the head. So it took $60 million to make, and it grossed $124.6 million at the box office. Those numbers are from Box Office Mojo, as always. And Selick, who was a huge fan of The Night Before Christmas, approached Gaiman about doing this this stop-motion animation for the film. And he did change some stuff up because he needed to make it longer and make it drive narratively for the movie context. So he did add the character of YB. And he was so impressed by Tadahiro Uesugi's work, artwork, that he hired him on to become the concept artist for the film. And if you watch this movie now, you are probably thinking of the movie Kubo because of how similar they look and how beautiful they are, and that is why. So this project was also originally supposed to be super small. It was supposed to be a 45-minute movie. Uesugi assumed he was only going to be working on it for like a couple of days, maybe a month, and before they knew it, they've been working on this movie for over a year. They 3D printed almost everything that they could, and for whatever wasn't built by hand, and every single thing in that movie was made especially for it. They didn't repurpose anything. This means that at any given time in one scene, you had 28 animators working on that scene, and a day of shooting only resulted in about 90 to 100 seconds of finished scenes. Because stop animation is hard, y'all. No?
Not doing it.
Yeah, no. No. No, thank you.
When I was researching some of the background, all I kept thinking of is that scene from Parks and Rec where Ben is unemployed and he's been employed for like a month, and he's like, look at my masterpiece, and it's just like 3 seconds.
Yeah. probably helps when you have, you know, 400 people working on, you know, the scenes and stuff. I can't imagine one person doing a movie like this by themselves.
Oh, hell no. And, like, on top of that, too, they did, because they did have the capabilities to 3D print stuff, that cut down on a lot of labor into making these models from hand, because they were able to just upload them into the 3D program and get them out. So on top of this, too, just to kind of know the scope and the amount of detail, the characters of Coraline can actually make upwards to 208,000 expressions. They were insanely detailed. Is amazing. Like, I could talk a whole bunch about this type of work, because it just, I don't know how somebody has that patience. When it was finished, when it came out in 2009, it actually did win an Annie Award, and Annie Awards are given to, like, the top animations of that year. So it's like the kind of like an Animators Film Guild type thing. And it is 90% certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, which is a difficult score to achieve on Rotten Tomatoes.
Especially for animation.
Oh, yeah. So the IMDb synopsis of Coraline is as follows. While exploring her new home, a girl named Coraline discovers a secret door behind which lies an alternate world that closely mirrors her own, but in many ways is better. She rejoices in her discovery until other mother and the rest of the parallel family try to keep her there forever. Coraline must use all her resources and bravery to make it back to her own family and life.
Yay!
So, guys, had you all seen this movie before?
Yeah, I saw it back in, like, high school. I saw it once in high school, and I think I, like, skimmed the book, one of the books. I know there's, like, different, like, there's, like, a graphic novel, and there's a book. I don't remember which one I read.
There's a novelization of the movie, too, I think. Yeah,
but it's been a while since I've watched it, so.
So I want to say I've seen it, but I'm not 100% sure. So I think it's one of those movies where I'm going to say I've seen it because I've seen so many bits and pieces of it and parts of it, but I don't know if I've ever actually sat down to watch the full thing.
Nice. I am in love with Neil Gaiman in every form. So I loved Coraline, and I watched it when I was in high school. And then when it got on Netflix, like, a couple of years back, I was watching it to go to bed all the time, which gave me some really freaky dreams, so I stopped watching it. But,
No, thank you.
You deserve that.
No, thank you.
It's a great movie. My subconscious didn't like that, though.
I remember watching it in high school. I think it's a good movie. I think when it came out in 2009, I think it just gets overshadowed by Up coming out the same year. So everyone in terms of, like, animation is talking about Up. No one was really talking about Coraline, at least from the people that I interacted with. I'm pretty sure, like, I'd be surprised if, like, Up didn't win the Oscar that year.
Yeah, because they Coraline was nominated for it and didn't win. So I could totally
There's probably Up then.
Yeah.
But it's good.
This just reminds me of all the other movies that they've seen, because it seems like the plot of, I guess we talk about the more the plot of just generic type of, like, kids with imaginations, and then, like, a story that's kind of horror but dark, basically between The Nightmare Before Christmas, Little James and the Giant Peach.
When I first saw this movie, I was excited because it reminded me so much animation-wise of James and the Giant Peach, and that is probably one of my top five animated films in my entire life.
I like that movie a lot better than this one. But I was talking about the same premise of basically how it goes.
Yeah, one of the things that I really like, so as I said in the synopsis, Coraline goes through the door into this parallel world, and one of the first things that she sees is her parallel reality parents making her, like, or her mom specifically, making her a whole bunch of really good food. And when I didn't see it when I first watched the movie, but every time I've watched it after, I just keep thinking of, like, all the Greek myths and, like, any fairy tale. The moment the character starts eating food is the moment that they're doomed. They're either not coming home, or they're or that's when they get trapped. So I was now watching it, I actually thought it was a really good thing that they didn't make, like, after that first scene, that it wasn't just her trying to escape the entire movie, and that it kind of, like, built up. But I do like that it mirrors that same, like, because this all originates in, like, the, like, Homer's Odyssey and stuff like that, where people taking part in a world, the more they take part of it, the less likely they are to get home. So I really like that. I think that's also, like, really, like, high level, like, me reading into a kid's movie. But it's also Neil Gaiman, so I assume he was thinking those same things, too.
I'm just thinking, all I know is what bugs me about these movies or even those types of stories. Like, all I know is if I go in there and I see, like, oh, my other mother making food, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great. And then she's got buttons for the eyes. I'm out. I'm done. Like, how bad is my life on the other side? Where I'm like, I think they don't got eyes, but I think I can wing this.
Which I think is why, like, Other Mother, also known as the Beldam, she picks Coraline because Coraline actually has a pretty crappy home life. Like, it's not bad. Like, she's not, like, getting beat by her parents or anything like that. Her mom bought her new school clothes. The parents are obviously working really hard. She just, you know, she's not the center of attention and everything.
They seem like neglected parents who probably shouldn't have had a kid.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I guess, too, like, my mom was a single parent and worked all the freaking time.
But they're not single parents.
I know. And then when my dad came into the picture, they also worked all the time, and I was with my brother all the time. So, like, I totally understand, like, some parents just work all the time.
Now, yeah, mom's kind of a dick, though.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what I was going to say. I was like, now, the way they reacted to her, the, like, go over there, go play, leave me alone, that is kind of bad. But I think it's kind of obvious that they were going through some financial struggles, so.
Well, yeah, he was trying to make the catalog, and it was a fresh move.
Yeah, it's a fresh move. She's shopping at, like, a 75% off sale for school uniforms. You know, she won't buy her the gloves, which is one of the things that makes Coraline mad. And that was just, like, kind of, like, my reading on it. Just compared to, like, other home lives of neglected children in, like, fantasy movies and stuff, Coraline doesn't have it bad.
Oh, yeah, no, she definitely
James
does.
From James the Giant Peach had it bad.
Well, that's why I brought up the whole, like, button eye thing, because I'm like, well, my life kind of sucks, but was her life that bad? We're like, oh, you don't got eyeballs, but we can live here. Be fine. None of this makes sense.
What are your first impressions of it, Adrian?
So I used to, like, my grandma's house, like, it resembles that house a whole bunch, like, with
it's a house that's, like, terrifying. Made,
like, in, like, the 1920s or whatever. It's a huge house, and it's, like, all rickety and stuff. So, like, rewatching this, I'm like, man, like, if I would have watched this as, like, a kid when I used to live with my grandma, I probably would have been freaked out the entire time I lived in the house. Because I'd probably be thinking, like, things are going to eat me, or, like, little mice are going to come out of the wall and, like, lure me to my death, and a cat's going to come talk to me. It's definitely a creepy movie. I mean, is it, like, really a kid's movie?
No, I definitely
I don't know, like, there's too. I don't mean, yeah, it's a weird initial, like, just from the get-go, it's kind of, like, weird and dark. And I guess that was kind of, like, the thing with, like, The Night Before Christmases and, you know, all these kind of stop motions kind of all have that kind of, like, genre. So I guess if you go into this movie, I guess you're expecting weird. But, like, if I just, like, found that movie, like, on TV at night, I'd probably have nightmares, like, watching it as a kid.
It's a weird way for basically a movie to tell the kids they'll like what you have and don't try to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or a button mom will try to eat you.
Pretty much.
No, I definitely will say, I agree there, Adrian. Watching it now, I'm like, I really don't think this movie was geared towards kids. I think, like, so, as we go into the story of Coraline, and she realizes that she's starting to realize increasingly more that the other mom and other father are trying to keep her in that reality, she's thrown through a mirror and kind of, like, trapped in this little room, and she meets ghost children who have had their eyes ripped out, and she must find those eyes. To release
they didn't get
their
eyes ripped out. Apparently, they willingly submitted their eyes.
They willingly submitted their eyes to be ripped out.
They said their life was... They looked like they had a lot harder childhood than Caroline. Or Coraline.
Which, actually, that's a good point, you calling her Caroline, because her name is only Coraline because Gaiman made a typo. And he said, oh, I love that name. I want to know more about that character. And just kept it. But, yeah. So... she ends up freeing herself from being stuck in this dark world where they're trying to take her eyes and eat her. Because, surprise, other mom is actually like a giant black widow and eats people. She has to go and find the objects that contain the real eyes of the ghost children and find her parents, who she finds out once she escapes the first time that other mother has imprisoned inside a snow globe. So yeah, that does not sound like a kid's plot to me at all.
Yeah, man. Trapping your parents in, like, the thing you like so much. Because she has, like, a bunch of snow globes at the beginning of the movie. So, like,
yeah.
That's just some, like, sadistic stuff to do.
Well, I think it, much as we can argue about the kids' movie with the original Coraline plot, it's not until you get to the, like, oh, yeah, the little kids with missing eyes. They're like, oh, yeah, we had horrible and they took us out and then we willingly
said... Then it just shifts.
Yeah, that shift to, like, oh, she was actually just taking children here for a while.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of get hints of it because YB, when he meets her, is... So YB, in this case, and I can definitely see why Selleck added him to the story, works as a point of exposition to inform the author about what is happening at the Pink Palace, and the Pink Palace are the apartments, and its history with his grandmother, who is the landlady, in a way that you would get in, like, third-person narration in a book. Versus a movie, he kind of brings us through that, and YB kind of drops hints at the beginning, saying, "Oh, I can't believe my grandmother actually let you rent this place out. She never rents it to people with children." And we find out that the grandmother's twin sister had actually been lost to other mother at that point. So,
was this also the time where everybody was obsessed with wells?
What do you mean?
I feel like everybody had a dark well. Had something bad going on for a while.
I feel like, well, but the well isn't the problem, though.
No, but
it's... The well is the solution.
Yes. But it starts the movie off with them looking for a well.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because she wants to make a garden.
Yeah. Why would you need a... I guess.
And that's like... That's you don't need a well to make a garden.
I know. I was like, why do you want a well for
science? Oh, he's so not okay with that. Her reasoning there.
No,
These people how to make a garden.
No, I do think though, like her in the beginning of the movie, she's using dowsing rods. Do either of you know what dowsing rods are?
Yep, my mom used to mess with them, and I was like, "This is dumb."
Yeah, yeah. So the funny thing is, actually, in like Appalachia and stuff like that, you have like these really really old, like. Country people who have lived there for long times and have had to learn how to find water in places where there weren't like actual signs, so they would use something called a dowsing rod, and that dowsing rod would lead them to it. So when YB calls her a water witch, he's referring to that, and it works narratively to mirror what the ghost kids end up calling other mother, which is Beldam. And Beldam is specifically means like an old crone with malicious intent, or a witch. So the more you know, Marine. It's something that I really appreciate. I really love this movie, if you can't tell. So I guess overall, what are some points of the plot that really stuck out to you guys?
As far as what?
Just in general, like what was good? Okay, the best thing about the plot for you?
I like the cat.
Explain.
Oh. I guess I don't know. I just like the cat and cat talk. Who voices the cat?
Oh.
Maybe that's why.
He's in a lot of things. Oh, yeah, I know that guy.
Oh, it's Keith David, obviously.
Oh. Yeah.
Obviously, it's Keith David.
Yeah.
I knew I heard the voice.
Armageddon, Thing, literally everything.
Almost like every commercial now with his voice in it.
This is now the Keith David show.
Yeah.
He was in a show called Black Jesus.
Yeah, he's like he's the voice of the guy in Mass Effect.
Yes.
He apparently does. Oh, he does a lot of. Comic
he does a lot of voice animes. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was Doctor. He was also Dr. Facilier in Princess and the Frog, which is an underrated animated movie from Disney.
Also came out in 2009.
Oh, damn. I didn't know that.
Says it right there.
Well, I wasn't looking at that. I was just looking at Dr. Facilier and whatever. Anyway, yes. Talk about the cast.
Why is that movie $14.99 if it came out in 2009?
Because you're buying it.
Once again, why is it still $14.99?
Because Disney puts a chokehold on almost all of their movies, and it's the same reason Captain America is still expensive if you buy it on Amazon.
Bastards.
Yeah, Disney don't play. They used to throw shit into the vault. At least they don't do that anymore.
So I really like the cat in this movie, obviously by Keith David, as we have now found out and looked. And I guess because you can tell from the beginning that the cat seems to be important in some ways. It doesn't say anything, and you don't even find out, obviously, till almost like midway to three-fourths of the movie, in which the cat actually saves the day in the movie. But I don't know why. I guess just his talking and the way the cat portrays everything in both worlds just seems to know that, like, you're not being very smart, little girl.
You're talking because he backsasses her the entire time?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, I mean, as much as her wife was bad, it was just kind of one of this movie's hard to watch for me just because, like you said, compared to a lot of the other movies, she doesn't have it that bad. I mean, obviously she's lonely, so she's starting a new place because she just moved, but I mean, it looks like they're in summer or kind of intermission of school, and the cat's just like, suck it up for a little bit, be my friend.
Yeah, no, the cat was cool. He's definitely like that archetype of the wise guide. Not the wise guy, the wise guide. Like, I feel like that's not, like, I feel like I can't pronounce that. It's going over my head. Okay, Adrian, what about you?
I like all of the, like, fan theories that come out of this movie. Like, she never really left the other world throughout the entire, like, movie or whatever. You know, and all this stuff. Because that's what kind of spawns out, like, these kind of, like, stop animation dark movies is just
more darkness. You know,
more darkness, basically. So I like that, especially when they pair it with, like, the book stuff, like, the stuff from the books. So what was another one? One I saw was, like, all the dogs in the movie, in the theater are just the dogs from those, ladies' house that, like, crossed over into the other world and stuff.
That makes me so sad. Don't say that.
I just like little stuff like that, like, just the fan theories that, it holds a lot of water. Like, all of, like, the theories I've seen about this movie hold a lot of water. And you know me, I like conversation after the movie. So,
what's your favorite one of them?
Definitely the dog one, especially because the dog's like, chocolate's not bad for you or whatever. So you like, this dog died eating chocolate, and
yeah,
it's probably those like ladies' like dog. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I'm so sad now. Oh, Yeah, for me, my favorite is, and this probably isn't any surprise to anybody listening right now who is listening to me talk about Guillermo del Toro, I just love the creature design. The way, so like specifically with Other Mother, what they do is she starts off looking just like Mother, and they slowly start morphing her. So she goes from wearing her sweater dress with leggings type thing, to wearing, you know, like a 50s housewife. And then they slowly add like this bustle to the back where she has like kind of like that spider shape. And then they start adding red to her clothes. And then as Coraline is realizing that this has become like a full descent into like people trying to eat her and keep her, and that she ends up stretching to be like this really, like, kind of, like, uncanny valley, like, woman who is, like, elongated and exaggerated, and she starts to resemble a spider more and more, but she doesn't hit that entirely until Coraline fights back, and then she turns entirely into a spider. You have her with all of her eight limbs. Her hands move from, like, long nails to being these, like, mechanical needle-type things. And her face is cracked. And, like, that, like, just in that, like, that's my favorite thing. Like the amount of detail and creativity that had to go into transforming this character from one thing into another when she is the other person in the movie that you see so much of. Like, that is, it's beautiful and amazing.
also want to know, if we're talking about the transformation of her character, why does YB and the dad like have like the most messed up neck? Like they have zero neck muscles the entire movie. I mean, YB's has his head laying on his shoulder, and her dad looks like basically like one of those eyeballs that popped out and just kind of roaming around.
Well, her dad looks like one of those inflatable tube mans, like just kind of like lanky going.
Yeah, he does.
Which I actually think like the creepiness of the movie is really because in the animation it does. I mean, one, the story, but, like, two, the animation really hits in that uncanny valley area where you recognize these things as humans, but you also recognize them as something else. Because, like, they turn her dad into a pumpkin, and it is frightening. I do not like that. Like, that, like, the pumpkin dad actually, like, unsettles me more than anything else in that movie.
Yeah. And they do really good callbacks because, like, in the beginning of the movie, the other mom or other mother is like, go get your father. He must be as hungry as a pumpkin.
Yeah,
and then they turn him into a pumpkin. What? That's just good storytelling. I like that.
Like how you say that's the most freakiest thing, but yet the old lady who's basically wearing nothing is not that freaky.
Oh yeah, they show naked old ladies. That's funny. Yeah, the I don't remember their names.
All I know is her bosom was bigger than the rest of her body.
Hey, don't hate. no, like, it's really cool, and that's also really creepy, because they unzip their skin. Like, they unzip their old lady bodies to reveal, like, their old, like, burlesque star selves. So, yeah, that is actually really creepy.
I said, all this is going on, and Coraline's like, this is fine, I can live here.
This wasn't creepy at all. I also think, too, and this was something that Usagi, like, has talked about purposely doing on color palette, is he wanted to make everything but the house in the real world extremely muted. And then that way, when she went into the parallel and everything was so vibrant and loud, that it would be, like, it makes it look more enticing than it actually is from that entire time. Also, what was it? Crap. Oh, the old ladies turn into taffy. That's actually really weird.
Well, old ladies like taffy, man. That's what they always have in their little bowls.
Yeah, that's not surprising at all.
But they turn into, like, intertwining taffy with each other, and it's creepy.
Have you seen taffy?
It's still creepy. But pumpkin dad is kind of creepier. Which, I don't know, like, what I don't understand, and this is probably, like, I guess if we get into, like, critiques of the movie... I don't like that people in the world, in the other world, help Coraline. Like, I don't like that. Because the other mother has made everybody in this world based off of, like, the information she got from the Coraline doll and the conversations that the Coraline doll heard. So everything in that world was created by other mothers. So I kind of don't understand how they can be sentient to actually make that change and help Coraline along. Because Silent YB, other YB, it helps her and helps her escape the first time. And then Pumpkin Dad gives her the eye instead of bringing it with him into the water. So for me, like, if I'm critiquing, like, the movie and the narrative, that's something that I don't really understand. Because they could have used the cat more. They could have brought the cat in earlier.
I just thought, since it is basically mimicking the other world, basically in the other world and what she knows, her dad still loves her in the end.
Yeah.
And then YB's still basically, obviously, stalking her or whatever, as she put it, in the end of talking. Plus, I mean, she sewed his mouth shut. So it doesn't matter what you are. Other mother sewed my mouth shut. I still might want to try to help this out.
So are they sentient?
I don't know. It just seemed like they were trapped in what they were doing, no matter what. Yeah. They may have been created, but they were just created of basically trapped.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think, Adrian?
Yeah, it's kind of confusing, especially towards the end, because, like, when other YB can't go through, but, like, the cat can go through, so, like, how can, like, I can understand that, like, YB's just put there to make her feel comfortable, but, like, why would the other mother, or, like, the bedlam, like, let him help her so much if her goal is to, like, keep her there. Yeah, it's a little confusing.
Also, it kind of, like, Coraline is kind of an asshole because she literally just wanted a version of Whitebeard where he didn't talk.
Yeah. Yeah, no, no. She's a dick, too. Like, she's, like, just for being an asshole. Like,
I don't really care. I mean, she probably doesn't need to have her eyes sewn out, but, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I do ultimately like this movie a lot, and I think it does definitely, like you brought up earlier, Matt, it is that tale of, like, appreciate what you have, and, like, the problem of always wanting to reach beyond it and not being appreciative of what you have now is, like, how we get into problems. The cat, though, I actually really like the cat, that the cat can, like, cross world from world, because, like, that is the lore with cats, like, since the beginning of time. Like,
that's why I didn't think about it with the cat, honestly.
Yeah. Because, like every lore has a cat that works as an intermediator. So. That's also why I'm scared of cats. Yeah. So, what are some problems you guys had with the movie?
Well, that's kind of, like, my only real problem, to be honest. Like, how are all these things able to help if, like, they're created by... the other mother thing, but that's kind of like contradictory to like her goal. But if she created them, why couldn't she just like stop them from doing like what they're doing? But then again, like it's not something that I think about. I wouldn't like if I was like a kid watching this. I don't know if I think about it too much. It's only because like you're asking me to pick something, and that's kind of
like,
really
it literally. Like I like this movie's been out for like 9 years now, and this is the first time I've ever thought about that. And it's because we're reviewing it.
yeah like it's not like a you know like oh this movie is like the worst thing ever like it definitely would have won you know I think you know the Academy Award if it wasn't going against Up but I think that's like my one nitpicky thing is it does a lot of telling but not a whole lot of explaining and I hate give me some answer give me a little something
what about you Matt
I just didn't really care for them. I mean, I like the movie per se, but I guess to me, it just seems like, I guess growing up and seeing a lot of these movies as a kid, it just seems like the generic tale of like, we're going to try to teach a lesson of somebody come from a broken home and whatnot, and hers didn't seem that bad.
Yeah.
And so it kind of bugs me that, yeah, she kind of is a dick. Now, she does have some reasonable points in her stuff, because her parents do kind of suck, but I mean, she's going to make it to school. I mean, I guess. I don't know, maybe because a lot of these movies that come off the reference, like you said, James and the Giant Peach was probably one of my favorites, if not my favorite, and what you see portrayed in that movie, per se, compared to, like, this one is, like, not even relatively close.
Yeah, I think, too, like, being in that, like, fantasy, like, this is a fairy tale, like, this is what it is, it's a fairy tale. Like, that is usually the backbone of a lot of fairy tales involving kids.
Right.
So, yeah, it...
That's what I'm saying. To me, it was just a generic one that happened to come out in 2009. I've been seeing these since I was born. Not obviously, maybe.
This was back in my day, people really had bad families.
That, and I'm just not a fan of the button eyes. I think the button eyes are just totally creepy, and I don't like them.
So, like, I think they did their job then.
Yeah, for the button eyes, I was like, nah, we good.
I do actually think that I tried to watch this movie, like, earlier, like, in the beginning of 2017, and I put it on, and we were getting ready to go to bed, and, like, Matt walked in, and was like, no, we're not watching that, turn that off. Like, no. Don't put that on.
I ain't going to bed with button-eyed lady looking at me like, how you doing today? Like, no, I'm good. I'm not Coraline. I'm just going to leave the house. I'm not coming back. I don't care what you give me.
So I guess final.
So all I'm getting thoughts. Out of this is Nico wants button eyes. Is all I'm getting out of this. He wants to get snatched up.
Have button eyes.
Are you trying to get snatched up, Nico? Do you need help?
I will say this though: small doors are always a bad sign for like fucking everything.
Accurate. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Like, just don't go through a small door. Like, just don't.
Yeah. Actually, didn't you watch Pan's Labyrinth?
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, like those weird that room we stay in at your parents' house with those tiny doors, they scare the crap out of me because of movies like this.
Oh, the little. That's just because the roof. And they're like.
You know what? That door in Coraline was bricked off and there was something behind it.
They're not bricked off. You can see the back of it. It's not even like. I mean, I guess you could take the length and the width and find the area of a triangle, but I mean.
You never know.
They're not.
You never know.
About to get
Matt.
Eight next time she goes to your house. To your parents' house. She's about to get eight.
Those closets haven't even been like. You probably can't even open those doors without stuff falling out, so you don't have to worry about going in there. And two, the thing's so damn small, I don't think you're getting anything else in there.
I have seen many a movies where giant things go through tiny doors.
Ooh.
It ends in less than 4 feet.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Wormhole.
Creepy. Creepy. Yeah, so I guess, what are y'all's final thoughts? Ratings?
If I had to put it, looking at it in a vacuum compared to like stuff like, I don't know, like Paranorman, Frankenweenie, you know, all the Tim Burton stuff, or even like, with Kubo, Cabo, I always say it wrong. Kubo. I'd probably, I think it's above average for me. I'd say like a solid, like 7 out of 10, like 7 out of 10, because I don't like, I wouldn't go watch it again. Unless, like, I was showing it to someone who had never watched it. Like, I'm not going to go back on Netflix and, like, watch it again. Like, when I go watch, like, Kubo again, hell yeah. Yeah, but it's a fine movie. It's not a bad movie at all. I think it's definitely solid.
Yeah, no, definitely a solid movie. It's something not my particularly, I don't really care for. Like, I'm with Adrian. I probably won't watch it again. But this way, it was 2009 when it came out, and I wasn't eager to watch it when it came out, and I'm probably still not. I'm not doing button eyes, and like I said, it's just a nice.
Yeah, for me, I'd be interested to like see what Nico loves about it so much. I think is like the bigger thing, because I feel like Nico's passionate enough to make me like it more.
Yes, actually, we should have added that to here. Hey, Nico, send us why you like it so much.
Man,
so
you're just making him do everything, aren't you?
What?
Making him, hey, send us everything. We need no information about this.
Well,
movie.
No, like. It would be awesome.
I want a
like,
book
no,
report on this
you
thing.
You know what? No, I'm saying that I agree with Adrian, and it would be really awesome to hear why this, because it is one of his favorite movies. When he chose it, he did tell us that.
Oh, I feel bad because I don't care for this movie at all.
It's because you're a terrible person.
No, it's not a bad movie. I just particularly do not care for this movie.
You don't want any button eyes?
No, I don't want no damn button eyes. And still,
you don't
want to
turn into a pumpkin?
No. And like, if I go in the first time, I don't care what I'm eating, I'm telling you, I'm waking up like, we done. Oh, mommy don't want to buy me gloves? Too bad, that lady's going to sew my eyes off.
Sew my eyes off.
Pretty much.
Yeah, for me, this is probably one of, I think Adrian's right to kind of, like, I really hate it when people judge all animation like it's one category, and it's not. It's like, just like live action movies, like they have their different genres that they fit into. I think Adrian's right that this fits into that Paranorman, Frankenweenie, like that genre of dark fantasy. So for me, I mean, I think it's pretty up there. I have obviously seen it multiple times since it came out, and I really do love it, and I really do love Neil Gaiman. So put about like 8.5 out of 10. For me,
yeah, that's fair. I mean, I wouldn't judge anyone for this like being one of their favorite movies like ever. Like,
yeah.
I can definitely see it for sure. Especially when you go back and like think about all the work that went into the movie. Like, they took a short novel, or maybe like a young, like, probably not even a novel.
It's called a novella. It is a long short story or a short novel. It is that middle space.
Yeah, like right in that middle space, and to turn it into that and to bring it to life. I think it's a hell of a good job, to be honest.
Yeah,
good adaptation.
This is not one of those movies where if you like this, I'm going to look at you weird. I'm like, If you like it, that's fine.
Yeah. I also think, too, like, I also think it is some of the best animation out there, like, that style. So, like, the reason I give it an 8.5 is mostly just because, like, some of my problems with the narrative. But, like, for animation purposes, holy crap. Like, damn. This has been our first Patreon episode.
Yeah, thanks for obviously being a
fan.
Patreon. Pirate. Nico, I would really love like to, for you to hit us up on Twitter, and I mean, not that you don't already, but like, let us know like, why you like this movie so much, so we can talk about it. Maybe you can talk about some of our critiques. Maybe we're missing. Maybe Matt's missing something that he needs to feel. He needs to feel the love of Button Eyes.
Send Matt hate mail.
Send Matt hate mail.
The movie James and the Giant Peach and be like, ain't even close. And this was in the 90s, I believe, when that movie came out.
Yeah, it was. God, James and the Giant Peach is
And that
crazy.
Animation is actually amazing for that
you know,
time.
I think that's why I really appreciate Other Mom or Other Mother turning into a spider is because I really, really, really am in love with the spider from James and the Giant Peach.
Maybe it's also why I just haven't cared for any other movies after this one. I just feel like there's a lot of them out there that I've seen, but
yeah, I think the dark fairy tale, yes, but I don't think this animation style. Like, I think this animation style sets it apart.
That's yeah, like this animation style kind of brings like Pan's Labyrinth-y kind of, you know, neglected
guys,
child kind of thing into the stop motion animation.
Guys,
what?
I want Guillermo del Toro to do a stop motion movie.
No.
You'd have to wait like 30 years because he would be so meticulous with it.
Oh, yeah, that thing would never come out.
It would never come out.
Oh, he would do such a great animated movie. Well, I guess we kind of got a taste of that in Hellboy. Hellboy 2?
Yeah.
Because that entire opening is a fairy tale, and it's all animated.
Sure.
I just want Guillermo del Toro to do everything.
I know. Let it go.
No, it will not.
Wrap this show up.
Okay, so as we said, if you enjoyed this and if you want to make us watch some of your favorite movies, head on over to patreon.com/butwhythoughpc and we can get on that. And this is going to be on our everything right now. So we are publishing this for everyone to kind of get a taste of what we're doing. And if you like this and want to hear it some more in the coming months, head on over to our Patreon, and for the $3 level, you get access to all of our extra content. So yeah,
we're gonna be destroying all their favorite movies. They don't want to like do this anymore.
Well, I don't think we're gonna be destroying them. I don't think we destroyed Coraline.
No, it's a good movie. If like if you have to watch like Batman v Superman, it's your favorite movie. I buckle up. I am sorry, but we are not gonna be nice to you for that one.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This movie's not that bad to where I'm not saying. But yeah, if you made me watch that and you say that's your favorite movie, I'm going to look at you.
Somebody ask us to watch Batman and Robin.
No.
Yes.
I'd be all right with that. I like that movie. It's not bad.
I like, thank you, Adrian.
I'm just going to
it's intentionally garbage. Like, that's not trying to be the Dark Knight.
No, it is campy garbage and it knows what it is and that makes it so great.
No, that is a dumpster fire. That's why they quit all the Batman movies after that.
No, Batman v Superman is a dumpster fire.
Accurate.
To which some of our friends on Twitter like to warm themselves by that fandom fire.
Also accurate.
Hey, you know, give us the money and we'll watch it and then rip it a new one. Or we'll just replay you our review of it for, we can do that too.
But yeah, so thank you again, Nico, for supporting us. You are really helping us keep this podcast alive and growing. So you can find the podcast on Twitter and our Instagram, which I should probably stop plugging because I don't post on there anymore.
No, I don't like to say Instagram.
You can find us at ButWhyThoughPC on Facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC. Make sure you head on over to our website, butwhythoughpodcast.com, where we have all of our new writers writing about pop culture, the stuff that's happening right now, and their feels on it. And you can find me at omymithrandir on Twitter and Instagram. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at superreese93, SUPERRUIZ93.
And you can find me on the Twitter at datm18, DATTM18. I'm your friendly, muted Star Wars person.
Should go out to one of those creepy Coraline songs.
Oh, yes. Yeah, some of those are really creepy. Actually, the choir that they have singing those songs, they're literally singing nonsense. Like, they're not even singing words.
So I didn't really get the music in this movie.
I loved the music.
Maybe I was half asleep. I don't remember.
It was good. Da, 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 da. Okay. Yeah.
Sure.
Bye.
Bye.
Swimming too.